on Alaska Protection and Rehabilitation District to order. And we did the introductions before. Some of you were here, some of you weren't, so we're going to do them again. Fritz, do you want to start?
Fritz Funk, Lake District Commissioner from Bryce Perry.
And I'm Mark Schultz, and Lake District Commissioner and Chair of the Lake and Alaska Protection and Rehabilitation District. God, I have a hard time saying that. I don't know why.
I'm Rob Gonzalez from Bryce Perry, and I'm the Treasurer.
Luke Marco, I am a Tonawanda Alaska Supervisor.
Ben Lachecki, I'm a Lake District Commissioner, Bryce Perry.
Connie Welch, Commissioner, Town of Campbell.
So we've got a somewhat full agenda tonight. So the first item on the agenda was the call to order and introductions. The second item is the minutes of the 2024 annual meeting. You should have gotten a copy of that with your packet that was mailed. There is one suggested change. You know what? I don't have the change that was sent in, and this is regards to last year's minutes. Let me go out and I'll get that. And this is the change that was suggested. One member noted that it was important for the Lake District to ensure that the public notice for the annual meeting comply with the statutory requirements. The district board recognized the challenge with meeting notices with the statutory requirement that the annual meeting be held by the end of September. So that, I would entertain a motion to approve that change. Okay, so that's Dave Podler. Dave Podler. And do we have a second? Robin Schmidt. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the Treasurer's Report for 24-25 Financial Statement.
Hello. This is my first year as a Treasurer, but the vast majority of our expenditures were just recently. There wasn't weed cutting last year. This year we just did weed cutting. We paid for two weed cuttings, and the weed cutting balance at this time is started at $20,452 and we're at $9,119 and some cents. So I made copies of that. I only made like six copies because I wasn't sure if I didn't want to make so many that I killed a whole bunch of trees. If somebody wants to see that bank statement part of it, I could share it with you. And then nothing else ever really came out of that account. We have two checking accounts. The other account started with a beginning balance of $20,452. The one really material thing that was spent on out of that account was a $10,000 check that was written to UWL, which was part of the, what's the actual name of the?
It was a surface water grant, and it was the River Study Center out of UWL.
So we wrote them a check for $10,000, and they'll reciprocate some of the money back to us later as part of the grant.
What will happen is we will put in a claim to DNR for the grant, and they'll pay us.
Okay. So that was the other expenditure that we spent out. The other smaller ones were the mailings that were sent out for the different notifications for these meetings and things like that. So I have the breakdown of those. If somebody wants to see those, I've got copies for, there's two separate checking accounts. I have a copy for each, but those are the only things that are in there. And there's one that that Mark sent me. He sent me a letter, kind of a breakdown yesterday, and there was one that he hadn't accounted for because it wasn't written on a checking account. We have like a digital banking account also, and there was $175.55 that was sent to the mailing business that sends out our mailers. So I noted that on the sheet here, and it's also shown in the bank statements that I printed off today. So the statements that are, if somebody wanted to see those, are the statements that are current as of today. And there's, as to my knowledge or to Mark's knowledge, because we're the two signers on a check-in account, there's nothing else outstanding.
And that $175, I believe, was for the pontoon tour for the postcard sent to all the residents.
Right. So it was essentially the same type of cost for the postcards that we normally send out. I just had paid it with the online banking, and Mark didn't see that it was a check that had been used out of a check register. So that's why he sent me like a letter that just kind of is a quick breakdown of what had been occurred lately. And when I was going through, I was like, I did the math. I was like, we're missing $175.55, but it's a unique number that stood out. And I just wanted, like, back a month or two, I was like, that was the other mailer that we paid for. So that was the only thing that was, we had accounted for it. It just hadn't been entered into our paper checkbook.
The other change would be to the budget is the $7,000 reimbursed to the Lake District from DNR, which is the grant portion, our 70% of the grant. We provided 30%, they would provide 70%, and that would be listed in the budget as income. It's right now it's not, but it will be. So anybody else have any questions on the budget? Yes, Fritz.
Just want to clarify, Rob, just for everybody. So under the weed cutting checking account, October 25th, looks like we have a bill from Schaefer's for $11,000, and it was two cuttings. So it's $6,500 per cutting, I believe. So when we think about how many cuttings we need in the future, $6,500 was what the number was this year. That was the two, and they just sent us the one bill. Okay, thank you.
The bill is itemized by cutting. In fact, each cutting is itemized by area. So, and there is the ultimate, it will happen, that vegetation is getting thicker and growing more dense as you go south along the French Island shoreline. And so we may have to extend those cuts, provided we can get a permit to do that. So everything that you do in managing a lake of any consequence usually requires some sort of permit, particularly on a federal facility where you got two agencies in charge, both the Corps of Engineers and the Fish and Wildlife Service. You got the Corps, but you got Fish and Wildlife Service that manages the refuge. And we have an opportunity for them to do agency reports right after the public comment section. So if there's not anything more, we'll move to the audit. And the audit was accomplished by Catherine Lemmers, and it's in your packet if you received the packet. So there are several recommendations in there to document things that we do, and so that in part led to the completion of the packet in this year's mailing. Are there any questions on the audit? Yes, Robin.
Can you just clarify, are there recommendations
To my knowledge, they are. We had a written report tonight from this, from the treasurer, and also recommendations are, and I'll go through them. The annual audit is a good method for reviewing procedures for with commissioners. The annual audit would also help with detection of unexpected or inappropriate withdrawals. None of that happened that we know of. The treasurer would submit a report with each meeting to be consistent with good accounting practices. The Lake District commissioners would need to decide the best method for delivery of the report. Treasurer needs to prepare a budget for the annual meeting, which is consistent with good accounting practices. The bank accounts need to be available to at least two people to review a need through the year. Good accounting practices include oversight of others. Separating the weed cutting account from the general account is useful for the clarity of, to commissioners and members. So, we hope we don't have to detect any activity on the account that's not legitimate.
I think, that's the way I describe it. I took the treasurer's job because I knew that I would have oversight because I don't want to have to worry about a penny. Mark has been really good at that. And I think, especially with the online banking, because I actually waited till today because we had just written some of these checks recently. I wanted to make sure they went through so it wasn't just like, well, the check's in the mail thing. So I have documents here. Anybody that wants to see it, I mean, I can give you copies. So I'm confident that it's all there and we're spending it on appropriate things.
And on the preparation of the budget, it's really input from all the commissioners that has used to prepare the budget. And that's about what I have. Any questions? Okay. Yes. And we had more money in there to start with, and then we looked at income, and we didn't want to. We want to be conservative on that, so we had to cut that back a little bit. But at least it's in there, and that's an important time to really gather information. Well, okay. Anything else? If not, we'll go to the public comment. That's your chance to ask questions or make comments or suggest changes or whatever is on your mind relative to Lake Onalaska in the Lake District. A very good crowd this year. If we don't have any public comment, next would be agency reports. We've got some people here from the agencies. Who wants to start? Christina, or okay? You're pretty loud, but we are recording, so maybe it would be good. Yeah. We like those recordings because then we know what we said. Yeah, you. Yep. I think Christina would rather be out catching walleyes tonight in the net, but
I came here instead.
You came here instead.
Yeah. So the rest of my crew right now is out shacking for Young of the Year walleye and sauger just below the dam of Dresbach. So when water temps start to get down really low like this, it's the best time of year to take and go target them just to see how recruitment's doing. And so they decided to go without me. Okay, so I have a couple of updates, some that are just like general updates just because they kind of affect my workload, and then the rest are only pertinent to Pool 7 in general. So staff updates, if you don't, oh, yes. Yeah, oh, sorry, I guess I missed that. Christina Pekacik, fisheries biologist, Wisconsin DNR. I manage 6, 7, and 8. That is my territory for management. So staff updates is, if you don't know him, his name is Jeff Janvrin. He was the habitat specialist. So any of the HREP projects that were going on with up and down the river, he was our main point of contact for Wisconsin, and he is retired now. So, and that position is currently vacant and will probably stay vacant for a hot minute. So we're hoping to get that position filled, but that definitely will affect some of the projects just because I'm filling in and my supervisor's filling in when we have that type of work. But that is a very important position, so we really want to try to get that filled as quickly as possible, but currently vacant. And then the other position that is currently vacant, his name was Patrick Short. He managed 9, 10, 11, and the sliver of 12 that we have. So the only reason why I'm mentioning it is now that he's retired is that kind of there's only one other technician down in Prairie du Chien, so, and she can't work alone. So now it's pulling lacrosse crew to try to make up for all that territory. So we've just been kind of up and down the river between 6 and 12 trying to accomplish a lot of work and make sure there isn't any data gaps, and we're able to take in, see like overwintering areas, adult walleye and sauger and young of the year stuff, just because that's our annual sampling and we don't want to miss anything. Of the project that I'm like aware of for the lock and dam outdraft, I like for Wisconsin's point of view, I talked to my counterpart just to see like a status update, and she just said that the construction is still ongoing. Contractors are hoping to finish by the end of the season yet. So I'm not really a part of it. I just know that it's going on. So I just figured you guys would be interested in that kind of update. But that's all I have on that. When it comes to invasive carp, numbers are low. So that is a good thing. We are very fortunate that we haven't had any crazy flooding right now. And that's typically when they like to take and come up river and hang out with us for a while. But a lot of the tagged fish that moved up from like 12, 13 have already gone back down. So we really haven't seen a lot of movement coming up. But as water temps still start to drop, we are going to be working really closely with Minnesota DNR and USGS to and Fish and Wildlife also to take in, start targeting when they're starting to school up into these areas. But when I talk to Minnesota, like, their numbers are low just in general, but 7 has never really been like a huge hotspot for these fish. Typically 8 is where we do a lot of our work for invasive carp. But where she's hoping to, if we have a really good winter, there is a couple of spots in pool 7 that they're going to try to, they have a contractor to take and remove these invasive carp and try to do some seining under the ice because they congregate together and hopefully be able to capture them once they school up. And there's a couple of spots in 7 she said she'd like to try if we get good ice. Field work wise, fall electrofishing sites that we have completed in this region, we did Tremple Lakes. Minnesota DNR was able to take in and hit Pigeon Island, but they weren't able to take and get into it. They were also completed Richmond Island, and they might even hit Dresbach Island, but that has not been done yet. So we'll see as water temps start to cool down. And as long as they can get out there, they should be able to hit it. Still on the list of mine, we were going to do it on Monday, but things had to get switched around. So I'm hoping tomorrow, actually, and then early next week to finish up Bryce Perry Channel, Sailboat Club, Fisherman's Road, and then if we have time, dredge cuts. But water temps are starting to cool down really fast, and then we now we have the polar vortex heading for us. So we'll see if everything starts to freeze up here in the next, like, extended forecast. And that is pretty much all I have for updates. So unless anybody has specific questions for me, I could try to answer them on the fly. Good? Okay. Well, I'll stay here for the meeting, so if you guys think of something later, we can always chat.
Thank you, Christina.
I tried to keep it short, and now I feel like I rambled. Okay.
So, who from the Corps?
I think I could compete with Christina for being loud, but I'll use the microphone as well. And you probably don't want to hear me competing with Christina for being loud. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Andy Meyer. I'm the lead forester for the Corps out of our Mississippi River Environmental Section based out of La Crosse. And I don't know that I've actually been to one of these meetings before. I've tended to go to the Bryce Prairie Conservation meetings and know a lot of those folks better. So I think you normally see Ashley, but you get to see me today, so for better or for worse. Like Christina, I'll kind of give you some broad updates first and then focus in on the handful of things that we have that are specifically relevant to this group. We are, as probably many of you know, the federal government was shut down for about a month and a half here, and our operations were scaled back. We were actually able to continue working throughout that time period, but not at the same level as we normally are, so we're excited to be back and functioning fully. Unlike a lot of the other agencies, we're actually doing pretty good for staffing right now. Our office currently has myself plus another four foresters working on the river, Ashley, our shoreline ranger, and then John Schultz, our section manager, who many of you have interacted with in the past. And just for your awareness, our office is responsible for management on about 24,000 acres of land, stretching from Pool 3, Hastings, Minnesota, all the way down to Guttenberg, Iowa, and Pool 10. So we cover quite a bit of the river. It's about 200 miles of the river. I was just trying to tally how many different projects we have going on throughout that range, and I think I got up to about 15 or 16 different projects that we're working on. I'm probably missing a few. So we're pretty busy with covering that amount of ground and getting work done. Some of those projects are funded with our standard operational funding, but then we also support the Upper Mississippi River Restoration Program and some other funding sources as well. Specifically related to Pool 7 and this area, we have been working with the Lake Onalaska Rehabilitation Coalition and Bryce Prairie Conservation Association, at least trying to get the conversation moving forward with some of the North Shore dredging project, and I know that's later on the agenda, so I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more, but also working with Fish and Wildlife Service to come up with some ideas for how to move forward with that. We have a project that we started with Bryce Prairie Conservation Association this fall, got up for a couple days to start doing woody invasive control work on Rosebud Island. I think there are a couple in here who volunteered for that and recognize just how much fun it is doing that work. We had we had 2 days, about 50 man hours per day with all the people that were out there, and we got about an acre done a day. So with the woody invasives that we've got out there, it's a major time commitment and time investment to do that. So really appreciate the local support with helping with that. And if anybody's really excited about getting out and doing some of that work, I have a business card, and I can get you my email address and phone number, and you can let me know that you want to help out. We were waiting until we're back to normal operations to get winter time scheduled to get out there and do some more work. So should have an email out within the next week or so with some more dates for this winter. That'll be an opportunity to get back out there and do some more of that work. We actually have had kind of a neat opportunity with Adam Schneider, who's a professor in the biology department at UWL, and who runs the UWL herbarium. And we were able to get out to Red Oak Island one day this summer and actually start collecting plant specimens to document, just to have an official documentation of the plants that are out there. One of the reasons we got kind of excited about this is that he discovered in their herbarium that they've got a lot of samples that were collected on the Mississippi River back in the 70s as part of some different projects, and those things are actually really really important for just long-term documentation of what's out there. So we're going to be working with him a little bit to try to get a baseline of herbaceous vegetation on some of these islands. Another thing that we wrapped up in Pool 9 for field work, or Pool 7 for field work this year, is we do a series of permanent forest inventory plots across all of our ownership. So we have about 10 plots in Pool 7 that were surveyed in 2005 and 2006 that we got out and actually resurveyed this year. So if you're ever tromping around on an island and you find a T-post with three trees that have big blotches of red paint on them. That's one of our permanent plots, and so we remeasure every individual tree within those plots. We haven't run the numbers on that yet, but we're basically using that data to kind of track how things have changed over the last couple of decades. We're also continue to maintain the culvert at the south end of on the north end of French Island. We call it the French Lake Culvert, but we have a contract with Schaefer's to clean out aquatic vegetation that accumulates there, and we'll be actually transitioning that to its winter setting here within the next week or so to keep flows appropriate for that area. So. Other things, the big restoration projects on the river are kind of in a little bit of a standstill at the moment with just some of the uncertainty with funding. The Upper Mississippi River Restoration Program is continuing to work on a couple of projects in Pool 10. The McGregor Lake HREP project just wrapped up the final construction component of that island building just outside of Prairie du Chien, and we'll be actually on those islands hopefully planting trees next spring. And then the other project that's in construction is in the very southern end of Pool 10 Islands, and so that's got multiple phases and will probably be going on for the next couple of years. And then the Reno Bottoms project in Pool 9 is another large island building and project, but it also includes about 500 acres of forest restoration that will be getting kicked off here as soon as funding kind of stabilizes and we figure out exactly where how the funding is going to work for those things. So that, I think, is it in a nutshell. If anybody has any questions for me, certainly happy to take them. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ashley, are you going to? No? Okay. Very good. All right. One thing I was thinking about. Yes. The what? Fish and Wildlife, yeah, they're, yeah. Tim, you want to come up? You thought you were going to duck it, didn't you?
I'm good with that. So I'll use this. I'm Tim Miller, La Crosse District Manager for Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge, and just give you a quick update on things we've got going. As Andy alluded to, we've been shut down for 45 days, was it 46, 45? And all of our staff, but we had one, I was there for that. So we do have a few partner employees that were around, but for the most part, we're trying to catch up right now. That's a lot of time. And if you know what we do in October, our first week of October, you guys usually hear from me, avoid the buoys out there. There were no buoys this year. So those usually go out on the first week of October. We usually try and have them out by October 15, and we didn't do it this year. So we couldn't put those out. We tried to make some of different attempts, but they all kind of went through. So they won't be going out this year. I appreciate you guys getting your voice to help us to help others know those areas are out there and try and avoid the birds as much as possible. Same things on Pool 8. We weren't able to put out the buoys that we normally do, asking people to avoid some of the signage is there, but it just didn't happen this year because we couldn't do it during that shutdown. So right now we're doing a lot of catch up. We typically in October, we're finishing up some of our forest inventory. We did have some staff that were able to continue that. We combined some forces we have some foresters through American Conservation Experience, and so they were able to continue to do some forest inventory work up in Trempealeau area and some down in the Shore Acres area in Minnesota. We've got other things going on for Lake Onalaska. Andy mentioned the working with on these this dredge project or that we're going to be trying to get together the agency team, we called it, Lake Alaska. And essentially it started, I don't know how many years ago, but maybe it's been 5-6 years ago. Started an agency team. It was made up of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Corps of Engineers, Wisconsin DNR, Minnesota DNR, Lake Alaska District member. I think we had a Bryce Perry member. Well, and start to incorporate LOARC, the Lake Alaska Restoration Coalition. We started to initiate that process to get that to happen in October, and then we were shut down. So we're going to reinitiate that. We've got going to hopefully get some dates out and start the ball rolling on that again. But the hope in that is to look at areas where we have a joint being all the folks that are responsible for that area, getting some priorities out there on the table and things that we can do to work together to get things done on the lake. So if you all know, it's a complicated process out there. The folks that work with the agency, we work through that stuff a lot, and it is complicated. But hopefully bringing all the parties together, we can try and alleviate some of that and come up with some really common ground to work on. So we're hopeful on that. Our visitor center started its winter hours just now. So we're going from Tuesday through Friday now. And we will, I believe, this weekend have a naturalist at the Brownsville Overlook. So if you haven't gotten down there or got to see all the birds, you guys get to see them on Lake Alaska. But there's some really good opportunities down at Brownsville, Highway 26 Overlooks, and then just south of Goose Island on Shady Maple are some excellent places if you have friends come to town or whatever. I know there's a lot of birds out on Lake Alaska as well, but it's a great place where you can go and get some good photos. If you like going birding, take a scope there. You can see about every variety that's out there. So that's pretty much it for Fish and Wildlife Service, and I'll leave it at that unless you guys have questions.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. USGS, right?
Yep. So this is my first time attending this meeting. My name is Brad Morris. I'm with the United States Geological Survey, Upper Midwest Environmental Sciences Center on French Island. I support the center by doing communications and outreach for the center. For those of you that know Randy Hines, he recently retired, so I'm filling his big shoes while he is enjoying his retirement, I'm sure, out on the river. There's been a few changes. We have a new center director, John Amberg, who took over in May, and just a few months before that, we have a new deputy center director, Caroline Link, who took over in January. The USGS has continued its partnership with many of the state agencies, the DNR, to do the long-term restoration program that monitors the water quality, fisheries, vegetation, mapping, and macroinvertebrates for the river. We're working to prevent the spread of invasive carp up the river by installing deterrents that use bubbles, sound, and light to prevent them from coming upstream and allow the natives to go up and down the stream. One of our researchers actually just got a patent on some of that work. And I think that is about all I have. I do have a couple of different reports. I don't know if you guys want a copy of them. I have handouts in the back as well. We do a different report every 6 months that shows every single paper or project that we've completed. And I'm more than happy to talk about that. I also have business cards if you want to reach out via email if you have questions in the future.
Thank you. We're always appreciative of those reports that you send out from USGS. So the next item on the agenda is State of the Lake Report. The Lake Onalaska Protection and Rehabilitation District was created by a county board resolution on November 13th, 1975. So if you do the math, that was 50 years ago this November. And the locks and dams out there are 90 years old. Just to put that in perspective. And at the time, the Lake District engaged with UW-La Crosse to develop a feasibility study for why we would have a Lake District and what can be done and what the issues are relative to, I would call it, threats to the lake. And if it's that report is online on the Lake District website, and if you read it, those guys predicted the future. And not to the extent that it happened, because it's happened so much faster with the amount of water and sediment that came down the river between 2010 and 2019. And in 2019, there was more water recorded coming down the river than was ever recorded before. Even the 65 flood didn't meet what that whole year sent down the river. And if you look at the report, it will tell you about what the issue is with water, nutrients, and sediment. And those are the things that are causing issues with more vegetation, shallower water, maybe areas that don't have enough oxygen for fish, maybe we don't have enough overwintering areas for fish. And that's why we're encouraged by the what's called the North Shore Drive Dredge Project, which is an important overwintering project that's was spearheaded by LORC and Bracebury Conservation Association. So it's been announced that they plan to begin that project, the actual dredging, next June. Still needs some dollars to get the project done, and the project would essentially pump the material out, put it in a holding area, dry it out, and then that could then be used for fill. There's even areas on the prairie, subdivisions that are going in that need a lot of fill. I don't know if they know that that project exists, but we're going to try to help LORC make that contact. So but it really is, if you like science at all, reading the feasibility study would be very interesting. And I did just recently, and I was amazed at how much they were able to forecast. Again, we announced that this year, aquatic vegetation harvesting to establish boat travel channels, we did that twice through Schaefer Marine. And we have completed the connection with UWL over the study of the 1989 fish habitat dredge channels, and we should be getting that report fairly soon, right? Yeah. And also in 2011-2012, the Lake District did a study of users and what their priorities are, and their priority for users was access. They want access to the lake, and they want to be able to get around the lake, which is somewhat drove us to do the weed cutting, because without that, persons with standard outboard motors, particularly during late July and in August, probably would not be able to access large areas of the lake, which is allowed now that we have those channels. Without a doubt, Lake Onalaska needs significant backwater habitat rehabilitation, such as the North Shore Drive Dredge Project. Anything else from the commissioners? So the state of the lake is It needs help if it's going to remain a lake. The challenge that the residents have that live along Lake Onalaska is they have to deal with a lake and a river. And we never know when it's going to be a lake and when it's going to be a river, because that's just dependent on rainfall and time of the year. So it's not like living on a northern lake, and it's not like living on a southern river. It's sort of a combination thereof. Any questions on the state of the lake report? Okay. The next item on the agenda is to consider expansion of the Lake District boundaries. And this was something that came up in discussions. And Chapter 33 of the Wisconsin statutes, I got a copy right here, and has a number of, who printed this? In Chapter 33.33, the merger, attachment, and detachment of another piece of land or a lake district is possible. And it requires petitions and requires the county hold hearings, and it requires a finding by the county. So the merger, we don't have that opportunity. Attachment, we probably don't have that opportunity. Detachment, attachment, we do have that opportunity. We're an awful small district. Detachment doesn't seem to be in the future of the Lake District. So there's a process laid out in 33.33 that you have to follow to do an attachment. And so the idea is to come up with a strategy to analyze that and just see whether or not that's something that's in the future for Lake Onalaska. Because right now, Lake Onalaska is a pretty small district, just the shoreline residents. And I think that most of us would like to see the rest of the community. You can take that to adjoining communities or across county or all of Western Wisconsin. Would like to see them pitch in a little bit, because Lake Onalaska is a 7,000 acre lake in an 18,000 acre reservoir with the river running through it. And so it'll be a process that we have to go through to evaluate whether or not that's something that's feasible. Does anybody have any thoughts on that from the standpoint of the commissioners or from the residents? Is that a good idea, a bad idea? What do you think? Yes. Yeah. Yes. And you have to read the statute, to read the language in the statute to actually figure that out. So attachment would be another piece of land. And it's usually that the people within that area has to say, yeah, that's a good idea. And detachment, that's not something we want to think about. I mean, you might as well then go to dissolution, which that's another thing that we don't think is a good idea. And merger, we don't have that opportunity because there's not another lake district close enough. So, you know, that happens in like a chain of lakes or something like that. So really, it's the attachment portion of the statute that you would have to follow. And it spells it all out, how to do it. So, we had another comment back there?
Don Welch is going to bring the mic around we'd like to get you on record. We're recording. And push the button so it turns green.
It's green. Mike Todd, I just have we were starting to talk about getting UWL involved with trying to do a research project on an economic impact statement, because, you know, quite frankly, I don't, my feeling is that the county, although they've been helpful, putting money towards the Lake Districts, is still, I don't think, quite understands what the impact of folks coming to the lake is in terms of state taxes, in terms of local taxes on hotels and that sort of thing. So I think if we're going to look at this attachment piece of it, I think that economic impact is definitely something that's going to have to be leveraged in order to get traction on that.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, let Catherine do hers. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hello. Yes. Yes, of course we're in favor of expanding it. We're the ones that need them. So when you say a petition, is that a petition to the county, or you mean you have to get the people in the new areas to sign a petition of support, or can't you do a survey to find out if they're supportive?
It says petition, so a petition is a signature drive. So it would be to get the people that within the area, yes. That's how lake districts are usually, that's how this lake district was formed in 1974, 75. So there also could be an action, say you had a municipality. I believe there's also some role for that city council or village board or whatever also to express their thoughts on that, because everybody lives there and everybody is impacted by what happens. So I'm not aware of this has been done to a large extent, but then I haven't asked the question around the state either. So Dave.
We got a report from Wisconsin Department of Revenue concerning the property values on Lake Onalaska. And roughly there's 250 to 270 properties per se. Some people own two or three along the lake. And their total value is around $135 million. And so when we were doing our rough budget numbers and things like that, when you look at that, if we're going to try to raise 20 grand, that ends up being like $70 to $80 per property. So if you own three properties, we'd be looking at a tax of $240. Now, the idea of expanding it into the town of Onalaska, city of Onalaska, and all that, that greatly lowers that number. You know, so that's the goal the direction we're trying to go through. A lot of hoops to go through to get to that, but I guess we're looking for your input. Do you want it to stay with the Lake District where you have more control, or should we try to get more dollars so we can probably have the dollars to do bigger projects and things like that down the line? I guess that's the input we're trying to get from everybody here tonight.
Thanks. I think the question is not only financial, but also appropriate in terms of should a small number of people who may or may not economically benefit from the lake be responsible for funding all aspects of lake rehabilitation that clearly private sector and other parts of the government sector benefit from. And so I think it's a fairness question of whether or not those improvements should all be funded by just the shoreline property owners as opposed to the community as a whole, where the benefit is really being seen. So it's I don't think it's so much about the dollar amount, it's about the fairness and the equity, equitable participation for those people who use the lake to also be contributing towards making the lake a better place for all.
Yeah, Dave Podler, W7769, Kellogg Road, ZB. I think this is something you need to pursue. If we're going to get some things done out there, it's going to take some big bucks. And if we don't do it, we're going to see the lake continue to deteriorate.
Thanks, Dave. Anybody else?
I've just got one other observation, and that is that if you do an open public process with this and explore the issues, I think that'll make the rest of the community around much more aware of what has to be done and how much it takes to get it done. And they can then see the need that this needs to be a full community effort. And then by community, La Crosse County, whatever, you know, but a lot bigger than just the people living along the shoreline. So the question is the process. And the statutes defines the process, but it's going to have to be a lot more thought put into that than how do you approach that and who's going to do that. So, because I think it could be anybody that has an interest and wants to be part of it. Anything else from the commissioners or from the residents? Of course, the commissioners are residents too, right? Relative to the... So is this something that the Lake District should pursue? Okay. I think we got a nod out there. That's pretty good. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Next is consider and act on the 2025-26 budget. So we mentioned the budget and we mentioned the need to put the $7,000 in the budget as a line item for income. With that consideration, is there any other comments on the budget? And I would entertain a motion to approve the budget. Motion by Dave Podler. Do we have a second? Second by Mike, Todd, and Robin Schmidt. We both raised a hand at the same time. Okay, Mike's the official record. All in favor? Whoa, I'm sorry. He's right. Do we have any discussion? Includes the $7,000 as a line item for income. Any other discussion?
I got no. Part of the deal with La Crosse County is they want to be a partner in us. In this, they just don't want to hand the money out. And we've had various discussions on it. I was at our planning commission meeting, and at that meeting, they said that they were looking for a tax, not an in-kind donation. But we had other feedback from other people saying that even a matching in-kind donation they'd go with. So a lot of these things, you know, taxation may be the ticket, depending on how the county administrator feels about it down the line here. So just be aware of that, you know, $10,000 is quite a bit, for this budget, and we may have to have either a matching contribution or taxation in effect for them to kick in. So keep that in mind.
And that's where the discussion of enlargement will create more awareness in the community of the need. So I think the two go hand in hand. If we can do it right. Okay, hearing anything else? Yes, Dave.
Yeah, just to make aware for you is that, the county wants to see us to do something, to tax. You know, we reported, last night at the town budget meeting that We've put in about $1.6 million into shoreline erosion control. Each of the property owners themselves have put riprap in, and with the linear footage of riprap that's now on the lake, it comes out to even probably even more than that. So, you know, it's not that we haven't participated. They have to understand we've done stuff on our own to try to protect that lake also. And it's, you know, it's just not, you know, tax that they should be looking at.
And I can verify that because I arrived in this community in 1981, and much of that steep bank along the shoreline at that time was just open sand. And every time it rained, every time you had runoff, and every time we had floods, it removed the material from the bottom of the slope, and the sand sitting at a certain angle. And when that sand gets removed, it moves down and takes its place. And so you just got a regular, you know, it's like a conveyor belt just moving sand out in the lake. And that, that rock riprap slowed that way down. Yes.
Thanks, Mark. I think that's a really important point that Dave made, and I wonder if there couldn't be, if you want to engage the greater community, if there couldn't be a series of letters to the editor or little articles or somehow, you know, continue to get that word out about how much investment has been made by folks who are part of the Lake District and part of the town, both the town of Campbell and the town of Onalaska, using their own funds to make sure that they are minimizing the erosion caused by flooding events and things like that. And I think that needs to be more publicly recognized.
And I think the Lake District would really appreciate any people that have the skills with social media or, you know, TV, radio, presentations to different kinds of groups, so that we can get that message out. So some of us do some of that, but maybe not as well as some of you out there.
Sue Podler, I think that through that process you were talking about, if we people sat down and figured out how to go about this and what needs to be put out, whether it's social media or newspaper or whatever, I think that it would be the best way versus people just sending out things and information.
Yep.
So I think this is a good first step. I've kind of talked about this at every meeting. So yes, I'm all for it.
Okay, Mike. Yes. I know from experience, if you make a suggestion to him, he runs with it. Right. There's other, Sue. So the other ones to speak to are the group that meets here on a regular basis. It's called the City Council of the City of Onalaska. And La Crosse City Council, or one of their major executive groups, or the county board itself. And certainly we need to keep our state and federal legislators in the loop on that also. So it's a big job. That's why we're, if we're going to do this, we're going to need everybody's help. So we have consensus. We want to go ahead and look at attachment, but we're talking budget. So we have to, my point is, we have to put the processes together so that people don't get confused as to what you're talking about, because that's easy to happen.
And I'd like to bring up one thing, because of the our Lake Protection District, the dredging project, the fee that somebody, the county or city was just going to put out for our docks, for all those things, those are three separate entities. And I think a lot of times they're lumped in together because it had something to do with fees for the lake, or just say lake protection, lake management. And I don't know if everybody here is probably knowledgeable in what I'm saying, you understand completely. But if you talk to people, try to explain those, the your neighbors, whoever, who don't come to these meetings, that there's at least three separate entities that are trying to do things for the lake. But, you know, the dredging project, they have a specific thing that they're looking to do, which is terrific. And the protection district is looking at an overall picture of the lake, and the government entity that was trying to come up with their fee for our docks had a different agenda also. So if everybody can keep those three things separate when you're talking to those to people, so when we try to do the attachment part, they're not thinking it's just another fee. And if you can kind of expand on what the Lake Protection District has done for a long time, that would probably help, instead of just thinking it's another tax to another tax.
So it's obvious that we're going to have to come up with a game plan before we start playing the game. Okay.
So, Mark, I wonder if it would be it would behoove the Lake District to maybe form a user group that wants to focus on that, that might include people beyond just the commissioners. If there's, if that might bring more energy and you know, help you guys out
if,
a little bit.
If it's the right people in the booster group, so you don't have a meeting of the commissioners,
right?
Then it's a lot easier to accomplish that.
So you'd have to have, you couldn't have, you'd have, you could have three commissioners.
Yep.
Working with that.
Yep. Okay. That's why the appeal to get everybody involved. Okay, well, we can, anything else from either the commissioners or the residents? So we're gonna, the next meeting, we can sit down and. Oh, you wanna vote? You got a question? I'm sorry. Usually I don't miss that, I'm sorry. So, any, all in favor? Opposed? Thank you. Very important. Commissioner election and updated information. So we had two commissioners that currently have either filled out their term, or the other one resigned previous to the end of her term. And then we have the third one who will be resigning after this meeting. So that means we have an opportunity to have an election for two commissioners, probably one for a two-year term and one for a three-year term, so that we get back on schedule so that we have elections each year. So I would open the nominations for people to run for the three-year term. Do I hear any nominations?
I nominate Tom Reddy.
We have a nomination of Tom Reddy. Do we have a second? We have Dave Podler second. Any discussion or opportunity to, for Tom to say something?
I don't know if anybody even knows who I am, do they? Maybe. I should tell you that. I'm Tom Reddy. I used to own Reddy Bus Line. Lived in Alaska. I've had property over here for about 25 years in the city. Lived on French Island for about 8 years after I over here. After we got the lake, I got involved in duck hunting and those kind of things. Living on the lake. Very interested in this kind of a project, and a couple of my friends and neighbors asked me.
Any other nominations? One more time, any other nominations? I would entertain a motion to close the nominations. Do we have a second? Dave seconds it. So we have a close the nominations and cast a unanimous ballot. All in favor? Opposed? Congratulations, Tom. We are going to meet after this as the commissioners to select the officers, just so you know. So don't. Right here. Right here. Yeah. We're going to meet right here, by the way. Yeah, now we have the 2 year. Do we have any nominations?
I just have a point of clarification. Is this, we discussed last time we were out of sync on our elections. Is this to catch up? So this is a 3 year term, but the first piece of it would be two.
2 year term.
Yeah, but subsequent to that, this is the catch up position. Yeah. So subsequent to that, this position would be a 3 year term.
I will tell you that I've been on the Lake District for quite some time, and as of the end of this meeting, the town has appointed Luke wisely, and so that I used to be the town appointment. So I just tell you I'd be willing to run for office.
I'll nominate Mark Schultz.
Second 2 year term.
I shouldn't be running this. Somebody else should.
I think I got the second. No, you should.
What? No, no.
No,
you. My own election.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Dave, so I nominated Mark Schultz and Luke seconded.
Yep.
All in favor of Mark Schultz for the 2 year term, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Congratulations, Mark.
Yep. We've got a big task ahead of us.
Yes.
So we're looking for everybody to help us. Dredge project update.
Mark, hang on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was elected in 2022. And my seat's up too.
So your seat's up too?
Yep.
Well, we got three elected. I don't know how I missed that.
Is that 2 year or 3 year?
3 year.
They're all supposed to be three drinks when you get rolled.
Yeah. So, yep. So that's Connie, that's Robin and Sue. Robin made the motion and Sue did the second. Any other nominations? Again, any other nominations? I'd entertain a motion to close the nominations. There's a motion. Do we have a second? Sue Podler. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks, Fritz. Dredge project update. Mike, can you enlighten us?
So we're going to have a meeting with Metallics and the farmer, and then see if the how much it will cost for the farmer not to plant, and if that falls in with something that the BPCA is willing to pay for, then we're going to try to do the dredging in June and July prior to the permit expiring. If we're not able to come to agreement, then I will reinitiate permits for an extension, and then we'll push the timeline out. But right now we're about 100,000 short, and we're working in the LORC and the BPCA to go ahead and do some other fundraising activities. So more to follow, but right now our intention is to get this project completed prior to the expiration of the permits, the 26th of July. Next year.
Thank you, Mike. So the next item on the agenda is to set next year's annual meeting date and location. I think we're being rather looking forward, don't you think, the whole year? So any suggestions or any motion to do so? So the statutes require the annual meeting to be between May and September 8th. You can change that by having a motion here to hold the meeting later, like happened this year. It does create some uncertainty if you're going to try to levy a tax. I'm not saying we are, because of the timing with how the county on levies, they need the information. Now, for us, we've not levied a tax, so most of our money has come from initially selling maps, also fundraisers, and then, of course, asking for donations from groups, people, units of government. So those are the three ways we funded our needs. But we're quickly outpacing what we've been able to get as far as donations. So we need another boost in that area. So, the end of September? Yeah, that gives you enough time. Yep. Any thoughts on that? I mean, if it would happen that we have to meet the levy. Now, levy is tax dollars, and that has to go to the county so they can get it on the tax bill. There's other parts of the budget that are just fee associated, and those kinds of things don't have, they're not on the levy, so they don't have that kind of deadline. But we don't want to leave ourselves short. Third Wednesday in September. September 16th. Do we have a second? So a Wednesday? Okay. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Okay. Luke. All right. If there's nothing else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. What? Oh, local location. Thank you. Thank you. If this is available, is this appropriate? I mean, it's got the recording that we need, and so, okay. So it'll be the 16th of September on a Wednesday in City Hall of the City of Onalaska. I don't know what happens if you, I mean, we could be in a conflict. They may have a meeting here already scheduled, but I'll check that with Rick. Okay. Okay, so we already voted, so we need another motion to amend. Okay. We have a motion to amend to allow the board to essentially have a leeway in the dates, so we don't have any conflicts with the getting this facility. Second, Sue Schultz. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Then we have a motion to adjourn. Mike in the back, Mike in a motion to adjourn. We had Sue's got a second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? You can stay here then. So we're going to meet to the officers and Connie, thank you. Oh, that's what I didn't do. I didn't ask it.
People. I have a question for you, though. Make sure that's right. Two commissioners to be elected.
Yeah, we did.
We've
three.
Got. Well, how do you do three?
Fritz is up. I forgot about that.
We have Fritz and Ben. Fritz and Ben's were the two positions.
Oh, Fritz and Ben's were two. Oh, okay. Okay.
So now you've got three people for those two positions.
No, we only did two. We only did.
You did three. You did Tom Reddy, you did you, and we did Fritz.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, you weren't aware of it for the agenda that you can't do it. So.
I resign.
No.
Ooh, that's a real screw up.
We got too many threes?
No, we got too many commissioners. Oh.
Well,
Connie's leaving. That's good enough. I'm happy with that. So, Connie's leaving.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, I know.
Ben, good luck.
Great.
What? Oh, yeah, it's been a while. Thanks a lot. So, you know what's going on a little bit. So, we're going to have some gritties in this one. So, you're busy.
Yeah.
Connie's gone.
See you, Ben. Happy holidays.
What? Yeah.